Hello and welcome to the first opposition preview of the season. Hopefully we're going to bring this back each and every week on the 7500 to Holt website. This is an addition to the Holt cast where it's going to be maybe a 5 to 15 minute chat with an opposition fan, just going over things about obviously the match coming up. And hopefully we'll have a clever name. I'll speak to James about it and maybe we'll have a more better name than just opposition preview. Today I have Jay from the Eagles Beak here. How are you, Jay?
Hey, Cole. I'm very good, thank you. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. Thanks for making yourself available. And yeah, how do you feel about the upcoming game against Villa?
It's a real pleasure to be on the podcast, actually. So thanks for inviting me. The game this Saturday, it's going to be interesting. I'm feeling a little bit pessimistic because our home form in the Premier League last couple of seasons hasn't been great. And we've tripped over sides like Villa at home. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, the first game of the season was at home and we haven't played at home since other than that dreadful cup tie last night, which I'm not going to mention too much. it's going to be interesting. Two sides that will be well matched. I'm hoping that we'll use a bit of confidence from the win at Old Trafford last weekend going into the game. But again, it's at home and we've really struggled playing at home. We're much better suited to playing away from home, what with the pace and the skill of our some of our players in the side. At home, we kind of get stifled a little bit, and we kind of regress a little bit into our shells and don't really show what we should be at home. But I'm looking forward to the challenge against Villa, newly promoted side. Always tough to play these sides early in the season because you never quite know what you're going to get. A lot of exuberance and excitement being back in the Premier League. So welcome back to Villa.
Yeah, thank you. We're happy to be here. If you would have told me this this time last year that we're going to be back in the Premier League, I'd be probably calling you insane. So
it's a tough old league in that championship.
Oh my God, it's, and some of those games you just don't want to watch because it can be that brutal. But yeah, it's great to be back.
You get some Palace fans saying, "Oh, you know." Some wish we're back in the championship and being competitive and things like that. And I think sometimes that's a crazy thing to say because you look at a championship season in, season out, and the names that are in there and sides like Villa have struggled to get back out. And thankfully you guys have. But, you know, watching championship season from afar is great. I just wouldn't want us to be in it.
Oh, exactly. It's kind of funny, though, to actually mention that because I know we're getting a little off topic, but I do it all the time, so whatever. it happens. The funny thing is, and I was actually watching something earlier today, it's almost like certain fans wish they're in the championship, but they want their team to get promoted, but not to the Premier League. So it's almost like they want this like imaginary division in between where you're always going to do well. And I just wanted to mention
that. It's weird,
that.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's very weird.
Yeah, no, it's really true. You see it a lot across social media and, you know, perhaps there's an element to sides like Palace in a similar situation that you kind of think, well, you know, staying up is great, but, you know, what's your aim after that? You know, a top 10 finish, let's be honest, we're not going to challenge the top six. So you've got to know your place in football. And, you know, we're going into our seventh successive season in the Premier League. And to be honest, I wouldn't change an awful lot other than, you know, perhaps having a go and winning the Cups. But, you know, let's be honest, we got to the FA Cup final a few years ago, which was great. And you can't guarantee that sort of thing. So, I think you've got to enjoy it while you can because you just don't know what's around the corner. I mean, you know, look at the news at some other clubs in the lower leagues in the last 24 hours at least. It's, you know, football can be very fickle indeed, but you just got to enjoy it while you can.
Oh, absolutely. We'll get back on track here. We'll start.
Yeah, my fault. Sorry, apologies for that.
Oh, no, it's okay. Literally, when I'm chatting with Danny and James all the time when we record on Sundays, I'm off topic all the time. They'll ask me one question, I'll answer another. So it is what it is. Let's get into Palace's season so far. How do you feel about it? How do you think Roy the Boy Hodgson's doing so far? And what are your expectations?
Well, it's a tough summer, let's be honest. 24 hours before the deadline closed, everyone knows that our star player handed his transfer notice in. And obviously that set the cat amongst the pigeons a little bit and tried to force a move away. Thankfully, we kept hold of him. Some people say thankfully, some people are still juries out a little bit in terms of, you know, whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, keeping a player at the club who perhaps doesn't have his mind set on being there.
It's tough.
We've seen it. We've seen it so many times before at other clubs, and you know, from from the outside looking in, you kind of think, well, you know, that, surely that club should get rid of him. But Wolf is worth so much to us. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, the club are holding other clubs to ransom. But, you know, let's be honest, you know, Zaha is at the top of his game. He is worth the 100 million to us, as opposed to, you know, what he's worth to what a potential suitor, basically. No team could pay the money that would that would kind of cover the loss of him from our side, because, you know, we basically build a team around him, you know, and while that's not been a great idea, because through injuries and suspensions, he's, you know, we've missed him big time. But we have a good squad of players, really. But, you know, we added to that in the final week of the window. We brought in Gary Cahill, a few other players, and I think our squad is one of the oldest in the division. But you can't, you know, fault it for experience. And we've always been a side that have brought in players that have Premier League experience, as opposed to some other sides that have gambled on foreign players and players from lower divisions. But, yeah, we've kind of gone with those proven players, really. And that's kind of our approach to the end of the window. But our season, four games in, it's a real mixture. I mean, drawing against Everton at the first game of the season. Everton are a side that, you know, have hopes of getting to top six. Really, we should have beaten them, to be honest. Wasn't very impressed with Everton at all on the opening day. Then we travelled to Sheffield United. An appalling performance. A real shocking display from Palace. And again, that's against a side who, newly promoted side, who played quite a different way in the Premier League. And pretty sure that would get found out at some point in the season. But, you know, we couldn't cope with it. In our second half performance, we just didn't get anything going at all. And fair play to them, they beat us. And we shouldn't have been kind of drawn down to that sort of level. We should have played our own game. And real abject performance. And then, typical Palace fashion, we followed it up with a 2-1 win at Old Trafford last weekend, which was a real shock to, you know, not just Palace fans, but, you know, it blew a few accumulators wide open
up and down
the country,
so.
I have to say. Yeah, I would apologise, but I won't. It's been 30 years since we've had a win at Old Trafford in a league, so it's been a long time coming. United have been a side which, understandably, a bit of a thorn in our side. One of the top six, but, you know, we have beaten the other sides in and around top six. Just United have been a real bugbear for us. So it's fantastic to get the win. Played really well. A lot of good performances. First game for Gary Cahill at centre back for us. Really organised that back line, and doesn't look like he's missed 15 months of football, basically, from, you know, no appearances or no starts in that period, which says an awful lot about his commitment to the game and you know, how he wants to stay fit for the rest of his career. So he could be a real addition for us, thankfully. And then going into last night, it's going back to the result with Sheffield United. It was a really abject, appalling performance from a group of fringe players, through youngsters chucked in. But real frustration from my perspective. I know I'm not alone in the Palace fan base. And, you know, League Cup, have a go. We got a draw against Colchester in League Two. And no offence to Colchester. They will come at us and have a go. But play the first team. You know, let's have a run in a cup, you know. You know, we're ultimately going to try and finish in the top 10. But obviously we want to stay up in the Premier League. So our first aim will be 40 points. But yeah, real frustration last night. So a typical mixed bag from Palace to start the season. We're on 4 points after three league games. Probably not the way we'd have expected to get those 4 points. But it's not a bad start in the league. But I think there's a couple of worrying performances in there, really. So let's see what Saturday brings.
Absolutely. And I think the funny thing, maybe from a Villa fan perspective, is I think obviously we played Friday. Mm. So with that being said, in winning Friday, our confidence was an all-time high. Yeah. So, and I agree with the Everton statement as well. I didn't think they were very impressive. I think a lot of things are kind of papering over the cracks,
yeah,
as it has been with that club for a few years now. But the funny thing I kind of thought after that game is, oh, we can beat Palace. And then you see the next day and they beat, which in my opinion is still a poor United side regardless. They're obviously not what
they
were.
So. Away from us.
no, like full credit to you guys, because like I'll bite anyone's hand off if we beat United when we play them twice. But I just find that's funny, because then you see fans online or ones that message me and say, oh, I don't feel as confident. And then after yesterday's result in the cup where we won 6-1, yeah, and you guys obviously didn't fare as well, the confidence reverses, which is hilarious because it's only a cup game and it's all second string players. It's funny. It's really funny to see that. But yeah, how do you feel about, I don't know if you've paid much attention to our season so far. I guess quick thoughts on how you've thought we've fared so far?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's been a busy summer for you guys and, you know, it was needs must, obviously watching from afar. I take a keen interest in how other sides, you know, go in the transfer window and lean into the to a new season, but I'm pleased with Villa to be back up. It's a side that I got a bit of a soft spot for. Love the ground, always allowed place to go, and the fan base is excellent. Obviously, got fond memories of Villa Park from 1990 playing Liverpool there in the FA Cup semi final. So and that's just a bit of an added memory there. But
you're showing your age.
I am showing my age. I really am. Yeah, but I was only a youngster then. But it's just still one of my favourite.
Oh, I wasn't even born yet. So
oh dear. There. Thanks for that.
No worries.
But Villa. I mean, obviously, you were unlucky against Spurs in that. That was it. The second game of the season.
The first.
That was at the first game of the season. Really unlucky against Spurs, and obviously Newcastle have obviously done what. You'd hope to have done in that game. But I think there's a lot of promise for you guys. It's always difficult for a newly promoted side, particularly after so many changes to the squad and the first team in over the summer. And you guys have a smaller window, very much like we did when we came up through the playoffs. It's very much you've got to trust the club to be focused and knowing what they want to do. But that window is a lot shorter because of the timescale of knowing whether you're going to be in the Premier League or still in the Championship for the following season. So that's always, I find that always something a little bit difficult for clubs to kind of control. But I think you've done all right. Your signings have been solid. It's just getting up to speed. Good to see Wesley getting a goal. Obviously,
oh, thank gosh.
Score on Saturday. So goals is, I know what goals are like in the Premier League. You know, we suffer from that a fair bit. So somebody who can score a few goals is gold dust, and it kind of proves that scouting can work, in a particular way. So yeah, I mean, good win for you guys against Everton on Friday. I still stand by both mine and your comments about Everton, and being Everton are an odd side at the moment.
Absolutely.
In terms of, you know, they're being bigged up as a side that could break into top six, but they've not really shown an awful lot of evidence of that. And you guys got a well deserved win on Friday. Obviously, the cup game, you just don't know what to take from that, do you, really? I mean, our side was a real mixture of players and similar to yours, but clearly you got a far better result than we did. Whether we were serious about the cup competition is another question, but, you know, we pretty much had fringe players. But it still hits confidence at the club, you know, whoever plays, it's still a shock, and you don't want to lose games, and you don't go out to lose games. So I think it's a real finely balanced matchup for Saturday, to be honest. And I'm hoping Villa can do enough to start this season.
Oh, well, thank you. I hope so too, because I would like a relatively relaxed season this year. You know what? I'll take like 13th right now. I'm happy with that. I know we're not. People compare teams that come up now to Wolves. I think that's almost a one off nowadays, especially.
Yeah,
but especially with our batch of teams that came up this year, if you look at the likes of obviously Villa, Norwich, and Sheffield United, they're a lot different, I guess, in terms of attacking play compared to even last year.
Yeah.
Cardiff, you know what to expect under Warnock. Fulham were just a mess from the get-go. And if you look even before that in years prior, I think it's three teams that definitely came up that offer something different. But anyways, we'll move on from that. Basically, I like to call this match the battle of our former strikers, because he basically just took our old strike force from like 2012 to 2016. So how do you feel about Christian Benteke and Jordan Ayew so far?
Jordan Ayew, I'll start with. He had a great African Cup of Nations. He was on loan with us for last season. And I mean, he'd admit he struggled a fair bit. I don't know whether he struggled to settle but he was in and out of the side, didn't really get a good run of games, which strikers need, really. More importantly, a goals. I mean, it took him a while to get his first goal. And you guys probably saw his first goal, which he burst into tears when he scored, which kind of shows an awful lot about the kind of guy he is, really. Obviously, you know, a signing in the in the summer window, $2.5 million there, the suggested transfer fee wasn't. That's a nothing fee,
oh, absolutely. Hasn't it,
For a player, and for somebody that can score goals, we know he can. He didn't really do it last year, but we know he can. And like I say, he had a really good summer. I think he scored the goal of the tournament for the African Cup of Nations for Ghana. So coming into the season, he was my man of the match actually against Everton. He played really well. He's got a number nine shirt this year, so he looked a different kind of player to last year in that first game. And to be honest, he was unfairly substituted, and Zaha came on in that game. And I think it affected him a little bit because he took an age to walk off the pitch, and you know, after such a good game that he played the lone striker role really well. So yeah, Jordan Ayew was unfairly dropped in my opinion for the Sheffield United game. Would have offered us something a bit different, a bit more energy up front, which we didn't have. But again, against United, he played that lone striker role very effectively indeed. Did his job. And I don't know if you saw any of the highlights, but he was our star player. He scored the opening goal and really battled and played well when held up the ball, flicked the ball on and obviously ran onto that flick on to score the goal. So fingers crossed, he is the man for me at the moment. I would start Jordan Ayew in most games at the moment. Christian Benteke, he joined us, scored 17 goals. Yeah, he is such a confidence player. And I know that's the same old adage for strikers when you talk about them, but you know, just needs a goal, you know. But he's a very not a moody character, but he just needs a good run of scoring. It's really weird because he's such a likable character. You know, he works hard, and I have to say, since he was carrying an injury for a while last season, had the op and sort of played himself back into the side towards the end of the season. I think he only scored 2 goals last season because he missed a fair bit for injury having that op. And I think he was carrying that injury the season before, but we didn't really have the strikers to kind of replace him. So I think he was asked to play through injury a lot of that season before. We don't play to his strengths, I'll be honest. You know, we've got two good wingers in Wilf and Andros. And it seems to be when Benteke's on the pitch, we play to feet. When I was on the pitch, we play, you know, to his head. you know, Benteke, you know, you guys know. I mean, he's good with his feet, but, you know, you've got to put the ball in the air to him, you know, a fair bit because he's going to, you know, beat most defenders to that ball. So, yeah, we've not played to his strengths. And I think the other thing is that, you know, a lone striker as Benteke is, you know, he can hold the ball up. But, you know, when he flicks on, we've got nobody running off him. We've got no other striker next to him to kind of anticipate that that run, which Wilf Zaha kind of plays behind him a lot of the time when he plays and doesn't have that striker nous really to kind of, you know, predict that, you know, flick on being done, whereas Jordan Ayew probably would. And we saw to good effect, you know, Jeffrey Schlupp doing that flick on for Jordan Ayew on Saturday against United, and that was perfect. That's one we want to see a bit more of that. Benteke is, I think a lot of fans love to target him, you know, because he doesn't score the goals. But I like his effort. I just want him to come good again. He scored 17 goals for us that first season when he joined. It's not really worked for him since. And there is talk about him being offered a new contract. So that's an interesting one because he's in his last year of his current deal. So for the moment, Jordan Ayew has got to start over him, but I really, really want Benteke to get some goals and get back to, you know, the kind of player that we saw in that first season.
Yeah, that's fair enough. As a Villa fan and how well Benteke did for us, I hope he gets back to some form because it is a shame to see him go down that route. Yeah, it is sad. But we'll move on and we'll close this out with a few quick questions here. If you're going to pick someone from Villa side, who would you say our most dangerous player that you'd want to look out for going in this match is?
It's got to be. I mean, Wesley got the goal at the weekend, so he'd be hungry for more. I would have to say Jack Grealish because he's that kind of player who can turn it on. You know, he can turn a game. Bit like Will for us, really. I think Jack Grealish is the guy that's going to be targeted a lot this season as a man to watch, and rightly so. He's a player that I'd like to see Palace sign when we lose Will at some point. I think Jack Grealish would be a great replacement for Wilf in terms of, you know, that skillful player to actually turn a game. So I'm hoping that we can we can keep him quiet on Saturday. Fingers crossed. He's in my fantasy team, so I might bench him this week.
Okay, so if that's the case, then if we're looking at a Crystal Palace end, and I apologize, there's literally a puppy that sounds like a turkey in the background. Fans are used to that by now, or listeners, I should say. So it is what it is. But yeah, from a Palace perspective, who should we look out for?
Good question. At the moment, after last night, it's difficult to pinpoint, but I would say after the performances so far this season, you've got to always look out for Wilf. He's not been on top form since the season started, but he's had glimpses. He showed glimpses on Saturday against Old Trafford. So he's going to come back and have a real breakout game for the season, particularly at some point. Could be this one, but I would say I would go for Jordan Ayew because he's had two really good games so far. He scored at Old Trafford at the weekend. He's playing against his old side, one of his previous sides even. And I think he could do a bit of damage for you guys the way he's been playing. If he leads the line like he has and battles well and holds up the ball to bring the rest of the players in, I think he could be a really key player for this game.
Yeah, I agree there as well. I was going to go with an easy cop out and say Zaha, but no, I definitely agree with the Ayew thing. He's another one that's a bit of a confidence player as well. So if you can play him in the right system, and he also is one of those players that needs a bit more extra time on the ball to get it where he wants it to go, in my opinion. So if he does get that, which I most likely he will get in a few spurts against us, he probably will do well. I'm hoping neither him or Benteke score if either both of them come on at some point. So I don't know. Something about X players scoring always just...
Oh, we've seen it all. Yeah, we've seen it so many times. It almost happens every time we play a former player. I don't think you got any in your squad, so that's good news.
Yeah, no, Yedinak's long gone now. Yeah. So, and even then, I don't know if you would expect him to do anything when he, what is he, 35 now, roughly? 36?
Such a legend, that guy.
Yeah,
such a legend.
So.
You know, in Palace fans' eyes, I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, he's not particularly skillful like Wilf or other players, but heart on his sleeve, that guy, you know, a real captain for us. And I have to say, you know, you guys treated him well, I think, in his time after Palace, after probably being prematurely kicked out of Palace, unfortunately, but let's not.
I guess you can digress there.
Yes.
We'll wrap this up here because I promised people it'd be 15 minutes and it's been about 23. So
my bad.
No, it's okay. I love to ramble too. I just love the chat. We'll give you a quick fire little answer here. Give me one, I guess I should say, is what's your prediction?
Prediction? Oh, this is difficult. Knowing Palace's home form in the Premier League, it could go one way negatively for us. I'm going to be positive, as I always am, about games, and I'm going to go for a narrow 2-1 win to Palace. It's going to be tight. It's going to be a tight game, and it's really tight to call. But I'm going to be positive and go for a 2-1 win after the confidence of the Old Trafford game and forgetting last night ever happened.
Yeah, no, that's actually completely fair, because if you think about it, you guys have a decent, haven't really conceded that many goals yet, but it's kind of interesting for us as well, because when we came against Everton, I don't think they conceded a goal yet, if I can remember that correctly, so we snapped that. Do we snap this one?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so it's obviously you guys have conceded now since, but... it's going to be interesting there. It's going to be tight. You know, your manager loves to set up shop in certain instances. And if you guys have the league, it's going to be really hard to break down. You know what? I'll just stick with the same prediction that I gave on the Holtcast on Monday. So I'm just going to go 1-1. I'll take a point here. I think both teams could use it. I think we both have bigger fish to fry, in my opinion. So I'd say, if both of us finish comfortably in the bottom half, maybe mid-table area, I think that's a good season for both. So I'm going to go with that. But yeah, we'll wrap it up there. Jay, thanks for coming on, and feel free right now to go ahead and plug some stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Cole, for inviting us on the pod. It's good to catch up with you after a few years.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really good. Yeah, so I'm Jay, I'm editor and founder of the Eaglesbeak. So head on over to eaglesbeak.com, where a lot of our best work is with opposition fans. We have a good chat with them before before games, and obviously articles going up every day. It's pretty much a Palace view, but it's you know, it's opinion based, and we feature Dundee as well, Scottish side. If you follow them, we talk about football in a lot of in a lot of ways. So head on over and have a browse. We'd love to hear your comments and stuff like that. We're also on social media. Twitter is our main one. We're also on Instagram at the Eagles Beak for both of those, and we're also on Facebook. So yeah, come have a chat before the game, after the game. Obviously, we won't ignore you if you beat us, but just pop on over and have a chat, and and enjoy.
Great. Well, yeah, it's been Cole here, Talk Aston Villa. That's where you can find me on Twitter. Of course, this is going on the 7500 to Holt website, so go over there. You can find us at 7500 to Holt as well on Twitter. Go give them a follow. It's much appreciated. And yeah, we'll wrap it up there. And stay tuned for the next Holtcast, which, don't quote me, should be on Monday. Peace out.